I trust you've received our new message notes in the email and downloaded them. We're going to take another couple weeks away on a hiatus from our study of the book of Acts. We're going to, well, let me ask a question. Have any of you ever had a quarrel? Anybody?
Yes.
Has anybody had a quarrel maybe in the last month?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Well, good. You know, misery loves company. And I had a quarrel within the last month. And that quarrel ended up crushing Kathy, my wife's spirit, and my own. And it drove me, in a very special way, a wonderful way, but nonetheless with a lot of hurt, to our Lord. I needed to have that gnosko time with him, that DPE, that deep personal experience, because it was avoidable. It was so avoidable. And I'm going to talk about that. The message comes out of a hurt that your pastor caused to someone else. And I've done an awful lot of counseling, and I recognize that quarrels are not just relegated to Ron Seidel. And a few people this morning have indicated they've had a recent quarrel too. So this morning is not to slap Ron around or anybody else. Our Lord doesn't do that. Our Lord wants us to embrace what he has said so that we have really deeply held in our hearts this notion of what I've shared before in the past with regard to the acrostic hope. The H begins with hope. The O is optimism. The P stands for positivity. And E is encouragement. This is what God the Holy Spirit brings to us as disciples, learners, that he wants to teach us what our Lord has said in a very real way. And so that we will understand, as I've titled the message, the fruit of the Spirit does not include quarreling. Because it seems that quarreling is so abundant in some circles that they really think it is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as I think of churches in particular. And obviously we see this going on amongst our politicians. We see this going on amongst people of different political parties. It's just a very hurtful situation. So if you'd look at your notes, one definition of a quarrel is this: a heated argument, typically about a trivial issue, between people who are usually on good terms. Two people or a group of people who normally are getting along famously, but because of an issue, maybe it's not trivial, but oftentimes when you look at the big picture, as our Heavenly Father looks at the enormous picture from beginning to end, he knows it all. As you look at the big picture, it wasn't necessary. But we missed out on doing something, and therefore it came about. The Apostle James, our Lord's half-brother. James was the head, or was heading up at this particular time. He was heading up the Jerusalem church. He was the head of the church council, much as Chris Wright is the chairman of our council of elders. James had this to say in chapter 4, the first 10 verses of his letter to the church. Now, church, bear in mind, this letter isn't for those people 2,000 years ago, okay? They're already in heaven or wherever it is that they went. This is a letter that is for us today, this very Sunday, next Sunday as well. James, full of the Holy Spirit, is breathing out God's words. And God, our Father, is speaking to each and every one of you as he has already spoken to me. In tears, I will admit, has spoken to me and taught me some beautiful things. I can only continue to pray, and I sincerely ask you, sincerely would appreciate that you would pray for me in this area, because I don't want to go back to that particular time where I crushed my wife's spirit. James speaks on behalf of the Holy Spirit. And he says, what causes quarrels? Are you thinking about that? Remember, this letter is to you and to me this morning. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Think about it. What is it? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. Wow, is he talking about actually homicide here? Or is he talking about an anger that creates a hate in one's heart? And Jesus told us, if you hate someone, you have murdered them in your heart. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your pleasures. You adulterous people. Ouch. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What does that mean? Ekthera, enmity, hostility, hatred. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility, is hatred toward God? This is a letter to the church, remember, to us. Who quarrel. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He makes him a ekthros, a hater, someone hostile to God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, the God-breathed word of God says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in you and me. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will extol you. What does this passage tell us? What causes quarrels and arguments with each of us? They come from conflicting, selfish desires that are always fighting within us. We know in the letter to the Galatian churches in chapter 5, we are told about this war that is going on between our unredeemed humanness, the sark, the flesh, and that which has been made the new creation, our spirit. These arguments and quarrels, they come from conflicting, selfish desires. You want things you don't have, so you're ready, so he says, to kill, to get them. James is probably, as I said earlier, not talking about actually committing 187 of the penal code here in California, homicide, over something that you want. However, things like that have taken place. I believe as he speaks to his readers then and to you and I this morning, he is reminding us that this desire, our own selfish desire, is serious, and ultimately the consequences will manifest themselves in such a way that people are going to get hurt just because of our own personal desires. And he says, and you covet, you zelo, you are moved with envy, with zealousness. You covet what others have, but you can't get it. So you quarrel and get into fights. Now, this doesn't have to be an object of some kind. It can be the fact that your boss didn't do what he said he was going to do or what she said she was going to do. Or it could be that there is something that goes on where the boss is upset with an employee because the employee didn't follow through the way he or she should have. But James goes on, but he says, but you don't have because you don't ask God for it. And if you ask, you don't receive it again, because it goes back to that whole thing, that selfishness, the wrong motivation. It's about me, myself, and I. Remember, my unholy trinity. You only want what gives you pleasure. Our problem is that we replaced the revelation of the one true God with another God, ourselves. He goes on and he says here, you're cheating Abba Father. You cheat Abba Father when you have an affair with the world's values. The word here that we saw, adulterous, is moichalos. We are being moichalos. That means that we have this desire. We are focusing on someone else. We are being unfaithful, is what he is saying. We're not being faithful to him. And you and I know where our focus goes, our what? Our energy flows. We've taken our focus off of our gracious, loving dad. To love what the world loves, he says, is to hate our Heavenly Father and to be his enemy. Now, I honestly don't believe that we actually think in these terms, that when we go dabble in the world's values, find ourselves once again feeling comfortable being part of the world, that we do this and going, ah, I don't like you anymore, Father. I don't need you. I don't honestly believe that we are showing disrespect for him, hating him. I don't think that comes to one's mind. I'm sure it didn't come to my mind when I had this quarrel with Calf. But nonetheless, James, under the influence of God the Holy Spirit, is saying this is the way the Godhead is looking at it. This is a new way of deeply thinking as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, folks. When we go off and play in the world, when we find that comfortability back in sin, he says that we're hating him. We're acting as adulterers towards him. No one can serve two masters. Remember what Matthew told us in his gospel in chapter 6? He said, the one that does that, he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and some other selfish desire on your part. That's anathema. And most of us as American Christians, I don't know about you, that was not settled in my spirit. That was not in my mind. That is not something that comes forward in a strong way. And it needs to be understood by we who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gets us in trouble. We hear the word, we listen to the word, but we do nothing about the word. It is in the doing. It is in the living of the word, the wonderful word of God. The people are going to be blessed. The people are going to be encouraged. They're not going to find themselves being injured. The fact is that I gave you there in your notes is this. This is what the scripture means when it says that the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is intensely jealous. Great intensity. Jealous. He wants our exclusive love, family. He wants it exclusively. Remember, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might. And then we're to love these other people as Christ loved us. This love that he's speaking about again, we've been looking at this as we looked at racism and God being no respecter of persons, and the essence of the big nugget, the main point in all of that was talking about agape love. And he wants this supernatural love that he has placed within us with God the Holy Spirit. He wants us to express these things back to him in the way that we live. We are to love him as we see in Ephesians in chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of seeking others' best and greatest good at his expense. This was his offering. And the Lord says this was wonderful as far as Father God was concerned. And we are to be imitators in this. Can I ask the question, when we have these quarrels, are we being imitators of walking in love? Are we? I wasn't. He wants our exclusive love. That's why he gives so much grace. As scripture says, God opposes the prideful, but gives grace, favor to the humble. So give yourselves completely to Jesus is what I'm encouraging you and I to do. To give ourselves completely. You know, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus, to God the Holy Spirit, to the Godhead every day. And throughout the day, to be mindful that we are a living sacrifice, having been made holy by our Lord's sacrifice, by our Lord having lived what he's called us to as his disciples before us, seeking our best and our highest good at his expense. In the midst of this time when you may know that a quarrel is coming up, someone has said something, your pride has been hurt, and now your prideful's coming forward. And this is the time to call for that gnosko time, where you need to get alone with the Lord. You need to be with him for the DPE, the deep personal experience with him, and to talk to him about what it is that has upset you. Because again, in the grand scheme of things, is this really something to get in someone's face about? Think about it. You need this gnosko time with the Lord Jesus, where you can talk to him and he can talk to you. Because I can tell you, on that Saturday morning when we were packing up, having had a beautiful time in Avila Bay and getting the car all ready so that we can drive home, I was focused on getting the car packed. I was focused on the drive home. I had not had my gnosko time with the Lord Jesus. I had not sat down with him. I had not spent a moment with him, opened his word to say, here I am, a living sacrifice. Teach me, Dad. Teach me what you want me to know today, what I need to step off getting into the world this morning. What do you want me to remember? What is it new that you might want to impart to me? I didn't do that. I stepped off into the world. I stepped off without remembering the armor I'm wearing. And now it's the unholy trinity in Ron that is in charge, when it should have been the holy trinity who was guarding me and walking with me and guiding me. So give yourselves completely to Jesus, family, friends. Give yourself to him each day. Then resist the devil. Now, I don't believe Satan's going to come after any one of you unless the President of the United States happened to somehow come upon this live stream. or some congressman or our governor. I could only hope that these people would wander into a church setting and hear the goodness of the Word of God that cuts both ways. Here's where you're wrong, and this is how you get fixed. So the devil isn't going to come after you or me, but one of his demons. But quite frankly, I don't need a demon in my life. I mean, none of us really do, right? because my own flesh will act like Satan. It's unredeemed. It wants to fight the Spirit, the redeemed me. So if you have your gnosko time, then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you draw close to Jesus, he's promised, I am with you always, even throughout eternity. I will never desert you. Those are promises. He will draw close to you. To draw near to Jesus demands a cleansing on your part and mine. For he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness from the time of our having received him as our master and savior. So James, the Holy Spirit has James tell you and I this morning, wash your hands. Wash your hands of your sins and purify your heart, you double-minded. I've always been troubled by double-minded. I never really clearly understood what he meant by that. So wash your hands of your sins and purify your hearts, you double-minded living. Be sad and sorry, he told us, and grieve over your actions. By both wash and purify. Those are verbs, right? Action is to take place. You and I need to make an action step to wash and to purify. We need to confess our sins and to repent. I don't want to go that direction anymore. And with his help, I know I won't. With my flesh's help, I know I will. That's the wrong direction, obviously. When he uses these terms of washing your hands and purifying your hearts, the Jewish people in the church would have understood what that meant, because ceremonially, they did those things when they went to the temple. They washed their hands ceremonially, symbolic. I'm washing myself and getting rid of the sins. That's what Paul meant when he told his son in the faith, Timothy, I would have all men lift up holy hands in worship, because that's an indication I've come forgiven. I'm confessed, repentant, forgiven. We're sinners saved by grace. We're to stop being double-minded. In other words, we cannot serve our wonderful Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. We cannot serve them and our own selfish desires. That's being double-minded. Two masters, and I can't serve them both. And I shouldn't serve my own selfish desires. We need to be single-minded, single-purposed. We need to be focused on our Lord Jesus and wanting to glorify him by the way we live, by the way we speak, by the way we think. Stop laughing at your sin and get serious about it, the Holy Spirit was telling us there in the context of the verses that we read. So looking at your notes, a reward of obedience. If you humble yourselves before the Lord, if you think of yourself as being lowly, if you consider others as being higher than you, better than you. You may have more college degrees than they do. You may have higher skills than they do. Forget about it. Humble yourself, follow the Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth and you and me. And he humbled himself and saw himself lower than us, that he would go to that cross for you and me, and to receive your sins upon his sinlessness and his Father's wrath that you deserve, and I. He humbled himself. If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. He will magnify you. You see, the way to be looked up to is for you to look down. To look down, to be humble. The lowly person, the humble person, becomes the exalted and lifted up person. There's a marked advantage to humility. Eventually, it brings honor. Get it? Good. So much more to say. But I'm going to be concluding with these remarks here before we go to the table and enjoy communion. Enjoy gnosko, a deep, intimate, personal relationship. Have that great experience with him as we remember how he brought us to faith in him and saved our souls and invited us into his family, that we became his brothers and his sisters and his dad, our Abba, our daddy. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for loving us so deeply and intimately, knowing us in that way, even though many of us may not quite know you that way, but you know us, all about us, and yet with that knowledge, you did not reject us, you did not cast us into the outer darkness, but you brought us into the light. You brought us into your forever family. You declared that we are now part of a royal priesthood. And we have found ourselves not only in your personal family, but part of a holy nation. And we deserved none of it. So, Father, I pray that the quarrels that we have had and the little bit that you have shared with us this morning will cause whichever ones of us need to call that person or persons that we have had these quarrels with and ask them to humbly forgive us for the way that we conducted ourselves and hurt them. Father, I thank you that Kathy was so gracious to forgive me for having crushed her in such a selfish way on my part. We are so grateful beyond the things that we can even think about in this moment, my Lord. So grateful for you and what you have accomplished and what you plan to accomplish. For we pray this prayer of thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.